Hi, welcome to Lead Lesson 4, The Practices of the Disciple Maker. We've been looking at things that a disciple maker does in order to reach out to the lost, in order to make disciples, in order to ignite movements of people that are coming to faith in Christ. And we've examined several, but now we want to look at the next one. When you look at Luke chapter 6, the scripture we were studying in our previous meetings, Jesus made a statement as he sent them out into the harvest field. And I believe it's the same things that Jesus is speaking to us today, giving us instructions on what to do as he sends us out among the lost every day. He told us to pray. He told us to be obedient. He told us to serve people. He has also given us opportunities to initiate conversations with people. And some of those people don't have to look like us. They don't have to be from our tribe, not even from our nationality. They don't have to be people from our same, just typical people that we are comfortable with. But he says we should go all the same. Now, Jesus said in verse 6 that if a son of peace or a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. So Jesus is telling his disciples to look out for a man of peace or a person of peace. What does that mean? It means a person that receives you, a person that is not hostile to your message, a person that is willing to receive the gospel, a person that has been prepared by God to receive you. He says, if a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If there's somebody there who has a heart that is disposed to your message will find a resting place. But if there is no man of peace there, your message will not alight. It will not find a resting place. What does this mean? Does it mean that Jesus doesn't want us to preach everywhere? Actually, he doesn't. Yes, he does, but he sends us to specific places. If you go back to verse 1, it says, and Jesus appointed 70 or 72 others of his disciples and sent them out two by two into places where he himself was about to go. So Jesus chose and designated. Jesus is the one who sends us to places or places us on platforms where we can make disciples. We don't choose our place of assignment. We don't decide where to go. We are led by him to places where he sends us. But he says that when we go, we should look for the son of peace or the man of peace so that our message can be received. Our peace can rest upon that person or upon that particular place. We know that Jesus himself went about doing the work of the kingdom by finding or being found by people who were prepared, people who were in situations or places where God had prepared them or God was working in their hearts so that what he carried was received and they responded to it. Where Jesus found hostility, he did not preach. He simply moved on. We'll talk more about that later. But if you look with me at Matthew chapter 9, from 9 to 13, it says, then as Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. And so it was, as Jesus sat at the table in the house, that behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? 12. But when Jesus heard that, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So Matthew was a sinner. But he was a sinner that was discontent enough to abandon what he was doing and follow Jesus. How did he get to that point? I believe he was prepared by God to receive the invitation by Jesus to follow. See, Jesus identified Matthew, connected with him, and Matthew now opened up his household or his network of friends, other tax collectors, sinners like himself. He brought Jesus into a social space where Jesus could actually interact and meet with sinners like Matthew. So, Matthew was what we call a person of peace. He received Jesus and he opened the door for the gospel so that Jesus could interact with people who were just like him, his own natural social network. We see this many times replayed in the Bible. You remember Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19, 1 to 10. Zacchaeus was hanging on a tree. Jesus walked up to him. "Today I'm eating supper in your house." They go to Zacchaeus' house, but Zacchaeus had prepared his entire household and invited other people, tax collectors like himself, to be there for Jesus to speak with. And at the end of Zacchaeus' repentance speech, Jesus says, "Salvation has come to this house." He didn't say salvation has come to this man. He said to this house. So Zacchaeus was a person of peace that Jesus identified. Somebody who was hungry. Somebody who was thirsty for something more. He was a very rich man, but he was looking for something more than wealth. That's why he could climb a tree. You imagine a millionaire in your city climbing a tree to watch you go by on the road as a man of God or a woman of God. That means there is something more he's looking for that he has not found in the acquisition of wealth. So Jesus identified Zacchaeus, but the good news did not stop with Zacchaeus. Jesus basically invited himself to Zacchaeus' home so that he could meet with the entire household. And household here is not just a father, mother, and three children as we have today in modern urban, you know, settings. A household then could be as many as 20, 30 people, especially if the person was wealthy, like Zacchaeus, who had brothers living, you know, in Middle Eastern culture, people lived together in households, not just in nuclear families as we have in the West and in many parts of the world today. So he had probably had servants, people who tended his horses or chariots or whatever, but he was a wealthy man. So the entire household, Jesus says, salvation has come to this house today. But Jesus identified the person of peace that opened up many other people to be able to access the gospel. What if we start looking for persons of peace? What if we become intentional in praying and asking God to lead us and direct us to persons of peace? You remember the woman by the well of Samaria? She was just one woman that Jesus interacted with. But through her, an entire town came to hear the gospel, to the point that they prevailed on Jesus, "Please don't go." And Jesus spent 2 more days with them, sharing the kingdom with them. But how did it begin? One woman who became a woman of peace that opened up an entire town or an entire city to the gospel. At the end of that encounter with Jesus, the people of the city said, "We believe because of your testimony," speaking to the woman, "but now we have believed for ourselves because we have heard him for ourselves." So, persons of peace, or men or women of peace, open up their sphere, their network, their platforms of interaction and social, you know, influence up to the gospel. They create opportunities for other people to be able to hear, not just for themselves. Remember Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. That's another person of peace. Prepared by God, had an encounter with an angel, already had a heart for God, but did not know the true and living God. He did not know the gospel. But Peter had to be sent for to come and declare the gospel. Scripture says that Cornelius had gathered his entire household. Again, another nobleman, very respected, very influential. So he had many people that he had gathered, his entire household, brothers and sisters, you know, nephews, his children, his friends, his close relatives, his servants and all that. They were gathered waiting. So on that day, it wasn't just Cornelius who heard the gospel. It was, Bible historians tell us that perhaps there could have been as much as 120 people gathered in Cornelius' home waiting for Peter to arrive. And when Peter preached, they believed, the Holy Spirit came, they were baptized. That was a major breakthrough into the world of the Gentiles, but Cornelius was the person of peace prepared by God. So evangelism and disciple making is not about us compelling people. Yes, we persuade men. yes, we make an invitation, but how much more strategic is it if we can find people that God has already prepared, people He has worked on their hearts? Now, we can go on and on. There are so many examples in the Bible. Andrew was a person of peace who introduced Peter to Jesus. Philip was a person of peace who introduced Nathanael to Jesus. And there are many other examples. Lydia in Acts 16, the Philippian jailer, and several other examples in Scripture. What are some characteristics of a person of peace? They are open, they are welcoming. They are usually hungry for spiritual things. They open up their family, their group, their community to spiritual things. They are ready to help you and to help other people. They are not selfish and wanting to keep things to themselves. They receive God's truth. They listen attentively. They are not argumentative. When you share the gospel, do not waste precious time arguing with people. Yes, there's a place for defending the gospel, the truth, but you don't spend all your time wanting to score points just to convince people. We cannot convince people, but we can engage in a journey of discovery with them. Persons of peace are also generous. They are usually hospitable. Persons of peace usually have a strong reputation. It could be a bad reputation or a good reputation, but usually they are known in the society and they are able to influence other people, you know, to receive or hear what they have to share. I met a young man some years ago, a couple of years ago. I took a motorbike in a community where I'd gone for a meeting. And as I was riding behind the rider, I just perceived that this person, there was a connection. There was need for me to share the gospel with him. So I initiated a conversation and we rode and rode. And by the time we were getting to the point, I didn't preach to him. I wasn't sharing anything spiritual, just asking him how his work, how are things going. But by the time we got to the point I was to alight, he began to share with me challenges in his life, you know, problems, issues he was facing, difficulties. So we decided, okay, let's meet and talk some more about this. So we exchanged numbers and he began to come over once a week. We began to have what we call discovery Bible study, just leading him through portions of scripture where he will discover truth for himself to help his life. A few months of doing this and, you know, relating together and spending time at least once a week together, he came to the point where he gave his heart to Jesus. He understood that he wasn't saved. I had asked him previously, are you a Christian? He said, yes. But he hadn't even been in church for, I mean, so many years, almost 10 years. But that day, a few months after we left and having series of studies from scripture, he gave his heart to Jesus. After a few weeks, we lost contact. I had no clue where he was. His phone wasn't going through. I tried. It became impossible for us to meet. And then about 4 months later, he called me out of the blues. I was surprised. Where have you been? And he's asking me, now you, where are you? I said, I'm on my way into the city. I'm driving. He says, can we meet? I said, where are you? He told me. So I drove there. We met. And he told me that in the 4 months that we have not met, we've not seen each other, he has started 3 discipleship groups all by himself. He traveled to his home area, met his former friends who are still drunkards, and began to share the gospel with them. And, you know, he formed a group there in his neighborhood where he lives. You know, he started a group, and among his co-workers in this part of the city where he works, he influenced them and began to do discovery Bible study with them. Right now, I meet with some of the people in his network, in his workplace, to begin to form a team on how we can influence the larger area. So clearly he was a person of peace. So the practice of the disciple maker, number 6, identify and invest time with willing people. Jesus says, stay in the house where you find a person of peace. Don't go from house to house. Invest time with those who are willing. Don't waste precious time on those who are argumentative, who are not willing. A person of peace receives you, they welcome you, and they become the gateways for other people to hear the gospel. The woman at the well of Samaria was not arguing with Jesus. Cornelius did not argue with Jesus. Zacchaeus came down hurriedly from the tree and made a feast for Jesus. Matthew the tax collector, and many other examples. Lydia in the book of Acts. So persons of peace are critical. And if we're going to make obedient disciples who open up more people to access the gospel through us, we have to identify and invest time with willing people.